Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. Welcome to this week's episode of There's a Walk for That. Last week, I spoke to wellness researcher and founder of Park Bathe, Vanessa Potter, who showed us how the principles of forest bathing can be adapted to your local urban park. This week, we're staying with walking in the urban environment, because more than 55% of us worldwide live in towns and cities. If that's you, I hope this conversation inspires you to seek out the quieter, hidden pathways in your local area and make everyday journeys, whether for work or pleasure, more relaxed and enjoyable. And of course, walking supports both your health and the planet. Who knows, it might even encourage you to take the idea of better city walking routes to your local civic leaders. I'm talking to David Harrison, co-founder of Footways, an organisation creating a network of calm, enjoyable walking routes all across London, with both digital and printed maps to help people navigate the city on foot. It's great to meet you, David, and thank you for being on There's a Walk for That.
Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and the work you do at Footways? How did it originate?
So, my own background is that I've always been interested in travel and transport, and did a thesis on medieval roads and bridges. And then I went to work as a House of Commons clerk, and for a while was clerk of the Environment and Transport Committee around about 1997 to 2002 or so. And wrote, the first report a select committee had ever done on walking, called Walking in Towns and Cities. And I really enjoyed doing that. And then in 2015, I retired and I thought, what can I do? And I've been involved in lots of things, but it seemed as if walking was a nice, doable interest to get involved in. And my son suggested joining Living Streets. And about 2018, about the time that the Sadiq Khan was elected mayor, he'd come in with this transport strategy to increase walking and cycling and bus travel. The various Living Streets, representatives of the various Living Streets groups got together across London. We formed a London Living Streets group. And then we had to decide what to do. And I'd remembered from the report I'd written that I'd been very struck by the idea of walking routes, because people made a big fuss about cycling routes, but not about walking routes. And walking improvements tended to be very patchwork and not linked up. So you might have an improvement in Trafalgar Square, but then how do you get to other places from this really rather nice public space? So that's how we started Central London, this what we call the Central London Walking Network. And I started working with the co-founder, Emma Griffin, who had the idea of, I think, of calling it Footways. And so we changed that to Footways following about 2019, following a conference we held where we tried to bring together the cabinet leads on the councils for all the central London boroughs to see whether they were interested in creating some coherent network. And TfL said, we'll give you some money. And then we had to spend, and then we thought, oh gosh, well, that's great. But now we have to go create the network and the map. So COVID came along and we spent that time just walking the streets. and producing the map. But there were sort of other spares to doing this. One was really to do with my wife, who used to work in central London, and we live 20 minutes walk from Highbury and Islington. And at one time I used to drive her there, and my son, who was quite green, was outraged by this. We thought it really perhaps wasn't a good idea. Then she started taking the bus, which was incredibly unreliable. And then she started walking along the main road, the Bull's Pond Road. And then we had this idea that actually, if she spent a few minutes longer, there was a lovely back street way of walking there. So all she had to do was get up 5 minutes earlier and have this really enjoyable walk, 20-minute walk, which she really enjoyed. So that was part of the idea.
You know, going through, you know, driving. No, we're not going to drive. Bus. No, that's not working. It's not reliable enough. Let me try walking. And then walking Bull's Pond Road, that's a horrible, busy road. And then finally thinking, we can take a slightly longer route and it's going to be really enjoyable. And I just wondered what you feel that added, you know, just to her day-to-day life.
Oh, well, she said it added an enormous amount. She just, you know, she still had the horrible journey on the Victoria line, but she just so enjoyed that walk. And seeing the flowers in the gardens and things like that. And there are some historical features as well. And then it really put her in a much better frame of mind.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on the apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Big Yellow Taxi. Great words. It's a great tune. And I love the way it gets its sentiment across so directly. And, you know, the sentiment hits you. You're not having to sort of work it out and listen carefully to what it is. You really can grasp it.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That, the show where we explore the benefits, the practicalities and the politics of walking, with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. That was Joni Mitchell with Big Yellow Taxi. And today I'm talking to David Harrison, co-founder of Footways, an organisation creating a network of calm and enjoyable walking routes across London with both digital and printed maps to help people navigate the city on foot. We're chatting about what inspired David to create Footways and why making walking routes visible is so important if we want people to see travelling on foot as a relaxed and pleasant way to get around.
But the other angle of, and another thing actually was seeing in the tubes, one of the tube strikes, people on the television being interviewed and saying, it's outrageous. I've been waiting here for half an hour for a bus and they're all full and they're not coming. And I thought, well, it's only 20 minutes walk. So let's try and inform people about walking. And I suppose the other stimulus was that we really wanted to campaign for improvements on the walking routes. And it's nice to see, I can't claim all the credit for it, but our vision was that you'd be able to walk along from Trafalgar Square, initial route we've based on, to the British Museum. And it's lovely to see that, you know, Prince's Circus is now in place. It's fantastic to see all those people walking along in the evening, walking on Monmouth Street that used to be a rat run. And we've now got closure of the bottom part of St Martin's Lane. So it's lovely to see those infrastructure improvements taking place. And that's been happening all over London. And we've worked hard with individual councils to encourage them when they're going to make those improvements, push them, maybe to try and push them to do a little bit more and really join in celebrating what they've done and featuring those great improvements like Strand Aldwych when they've happened, because I think they do so much to promote people's happiness and encourage them to walk. So I think the infrastructure part is a vital part of getting people to walk, because, as I said, people will choose that mode of transport in a way that's probably most enjoyable.
I couldn't agree more. And I think when I was doing my walk yesterday, you know, and I went through Leicester Square and through Chinatown and down Piccadilly, and I was so struck about how many people were walking. It really felt like a walking city. And compared to London in sort of the 80s, I think London has improved vastly for walking. And it was winter, you know, it wasn't a nice day yesterday. It was quite drizzly, it was cold. But nevertheless, the streets were full of people walking, not rushing, just walking. And it was really lovely, felt a little bit more like a European city, you know, when people are walking in the evening. So I think that, you know, the work that you've done, you know, together with the other stakeholders is making a huge difference to the walkability of London. And as you say, the happiness of people, the enjoyment, the relaxation, but also the noise and the pollution. You know, you can walk and not have a thundering road right yeah. behind you. And it really makes London a nice place to go to. And I think it will be very good for London's economic future as well, that it is so walkable now.
Yeah, and you look at the increased footfall in Covent Garden, I think, since King Street and all around there was pedestrianised. I'm sure that the landowners will have the figures for footfall, but it seems to me that it increased enormously.
And it's not just about pavements. London has many parks and green spaces, and Footways is looking for ways to link them together to provide more of a hiking experience in this huge urban conurbation.
We did do one sort of, you know, you described a route from Camden. We did devise one, which TfL adopted, the Green Link Walk.
TfL, by the way, stands for Transport for London, which is the body responsible for most of the capital's transport network, from the tube and buses to road traffic and river services, under the Mayor of London's transport strategy. And its plans for a greener, more accessible city place a growing emphasis on walking as a key part of the transport mix. Let's get back to David from Footways.
So the idea there was to link up green spaces and quiet streets. So we took advantage of all the sort of way that traffic had been reduced and found a way of moving from Epping Forest to Peckham along quiet streets and green spaces. So we obviously worked, we put the germ of the idea to TfL, who worked it out with the local councils. And now there's this 18-mile walk.
Often if I'm thinking about walking for mental well-being, you know, and physical health, you know, you see, you can picture someone walking in the countryside, you know, sort of mental well-being is very much associated with walking in nature and parks and countryside. So my question was, can urban walking be as beneficial, or are there other benefits that we get when we're walking through urban areas that we don't get when we're walking in nature?
Well, interestingly, we had a conference. We organised a conference with the University of Westminster last year, and we had a great speaker. And she was describing walking with her children. And they were walking partly through green spaces in the countryside and partly in urban areas. And she was saying how much more interest. The children actually found the green spaces a bit boring, really. Less to look at. And then when they got to the urban spaces, even if a bit grotty, there was all sorts of things to fascinate them and to interest and to remark on.
Walking through the city, it's maybe a different kind of experience you have. And I was walking behind a granny and her two children at Leicester Square, I think it was, and the kids were fascinated because there were buses and there were lights and there were hoardings and there were those little tuk-tuks you have now. And so they were like fascinated about everything that was going around them, and she was explaining what everything was. So I can see, yeah, for children and for adults, it's a very interesting place to walk through the city.
And so much to see if you look up. So many of the buildings have interesting details, which you can so easily miss. And also, I think historical buildings and lovely urban spaces are very uplifting, aren't they? I don't know what neurological research has been done, but I expect you get some of the very similar boosts through seeing a great building as you do from enjoying the countryside and the views of nature.
I think you're right there, because obviously in nature, one of the emotions that you often feel is wonder or awe, you know, at the glory of nature. But last night when I was walking through London and I was at Piccadilly Circus, I just looked at the statue of Eros, which I must have seen a billion times. In the light, it just looked incredible, this beautiful silhouette against the kind of smoky grey night sky. You know, it's really, really beautiful. And then some of the buildings, obviously Harrods, I know that's very glitzy, but it still kind of gives you a buzz to see it all lit up. You know. So I think I agree with you. I think especially in a historic town like London, the buildings, they are quite awesome. And so you do get that wow factor.
And you get those views. I know as you walk down, I don't know if you've come from Exmouth Market and then down towards Clerkenwell Close, and you see the spire of St James Clerkenwell sort of emerging through there and the winding spaces.
I think it's very interesting, actually, because with the sort of the vast amount of building that's happened in London in the last sort of, I suppose, 40 years, you do get these very interesting juxtapositions of very old and strikingly modern. Yeah. And as you say, sometimes it's you just turn a corner or you look down a little alley and you suddenly see it kind of pictured, you know, old and new. And it is very, very beautiful.
I so agree. And in the city, you get that contrast between the skyscrapers and the Wren Church.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That, the show where we explore the benefits, the practicalities, and the politics of walking with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. Today, I'm talking to David Harrison, co-founder of Footways, an organisation that creates a network of calm, enjoyable walking routes all across London, with both digital and printed maps to help people navigate the city on foot. In cities and towns around the world, we've seen a huge rise in cycling, with dedicated lanes and routes created to support it, which is great. But is it now walking's turn?
Yeah, I think that there's a much bigger number of cycling campaigners. And also, I think many of the people, the officers in local councils, had an idea what to do about cycling. There were sort of proposals there. And what we tried to bring to the table in the infrastructure was saying, well, look, you can have proposals for walking. But the way of doing this, I think, is through focusing on sort of core walking routes that will take people on between key destinations. And then having looked at those walking routes, see where the improvements need to be. And you can package the improvements together. And then you've got to walk just in the way that you might have a cycling route. And I think it took, you know, the idea about walking routes, I said, was certainly around when I was looking at this around 2000. But I think it's only in recent years that councils have really started to take on board this idea of linking up all these spaces together into one coherent and enjoyable journey. And of course, the great step, and we've worked a lot with Network Rail, is to try and do this for stations. And one of the really great things they did at Crossrail was they realised the journey out of the station was a part of the whole public transport journey. And that's something I think that public transport really need to recognise, that sometimes, you know, when people are coming to London, it can be the walk from and to the station that can almost be the most enjoyable part of the journey.
Absolutely.
And I'd love to see. So we've produced some digital walking routes that you can access through platforms at the mainline stations. But we'd love to see more signposts at stations. You know, if you come out at Euston, wouldn't it be great if instead of saying there's a taxi there, there's a bus there, there's a tube there, there wasn't a big sign or some sort of wayfinding to say British Museum and Covent Garden, 20-minute walk.
And I think the signage is vital, and it seems like quite a simple thing and low cost thing to do, but I think that extra thing you've added, how long the walk is going to take, I think that is, because if people look at it and think, oh, it's a 20 minute walk, that's fine, or a 15 minute walk or whatever it is, it's that making it very easy for people to find the walking route and to take the walking route and to realize there is a way to walk between A and B, and it's not going to be too complicated. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. Yeah. And of course, there's so much dividend for the environment as well, isn't there? You know, the more we walk, the less we're using our vehicles. And of course, it's free. You know, I mean, why, you know, pay for a for petrol or for a train when you can just walk it.
Yeah, I remember being having lunch in central London. We were all met more or less on time, and one person was late, and they came in fuming that they'd got off at Waterloo and they'd caught a taxi, and they'd been stuck in traffic for far longer than it would take to walk. Walking is also reliable. You know exactly how long it's going to take. And Footways have done, you know, it's done a lot of work with Network Rail. And so we're really keen on that interface between between the stations and the walk, and getting that vision for the whole walking public transport journey. I think you need to think about the whole journey, not just how quickly you get on the train.
On the slow train. Millersdale for Tideswell, Kirby Muxlow, Mall Cop and Scholar Green. No more will I go to Blandford Forum and Mortyhoe. On the slow train from Midsummer Norton and Mumby Road. No churns, no porter, no cat on a seat at Chorlton, Cumharney or Chester le Street. We won't be meeting again on the slow train. I'll travel no more from Littleton Batsy to Openshaw. At Long Santon I'll stand well clear of the doors no more. No whitewashed pebbles, no up and no down, from Formby Four Crosses to Dunstable Town. I won't be going again on the slow train. On the main line and the good siding, the grass grows high at Dog Dyke, Tumby Woodside and Trouble House Halt. The sleepers sleep at Audlem and Ambergate. No passenger waits on Chittering platform or Cheslin Hay. No one departs, no one arrives from Selby to Goole, from St. Earth to St. Ives. They've all passed out of our lives on the slow train. On the slow train. Cockermouth for Buttermere.
On the slow train.
Armley Moor, Adam. Pye Hill and Summercoats.
On the slow train.
Windmill End.
Slow Train, which is Flanders and Swan, which we often used to play to the children, which is just such a lovely, haunting song, slow song to help the slow train. And it's a sort of lament for what was lost in the 1960s.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio, the show where we explore all things walking, from the benefits for our health and well-being to the practical and political considerations of making walking more accessible for everyone. My name is Harriet Thomas, and today I'm talking to David Harrison, co-founder of Footways, an organisation creating a network of calm, enjoyable walking routes all across London, with both digital and printed maps to help people navigate the city on foot. Anyone who enjoys walking knows how important a good map is. Whether you're heading out on a countryside hike or finding your way across a city, most of us instinctively reach for our phones and open up Google Maps. But while Google is great for finding the most direct route, it can also send you straight along the noisiest, most polluted and unpleasant roads. What Footways has done for London is map out alternative routes, quieter paths through hidden streets, secret green spaces, and past historic buildings, showing that city walking can be enjoyable, not just efficient. In the next section, we'll talk about the importance of apps, maps, and signposting in helping people choose better walking routes.
Especially for somebody who doesn't know the city that well, and you'd automatically, for example, if you Google a walking route, it will take you mainly down the main roads. Yeah. So what yours does is it gives you that alternative, so you can explore some off the busy main streets, but you can still be kind of getting to your destination.
We did a video, there was a sort of conference that TfL chaired, bringing together us and others and Google and the big tech people. And we did a presentation showing the difference between going from Liverpool Street Station on the Google route, which took you down King William Street, on an hour route that took you down Carter Lane and across the across the Millennium Bridge and things. It was Liverpool Street to Tate Modern, yeah. So we showed you how you could go a really nice route from Liverpool Street through a bank, etc., and then across the Millennium Bridge to Tate Modern, Liverpool Street Station. And Google just took you down King William Street. And we saw people actually on their phones on King William Street finding their way that way. And it can be a so much more enjoyable walk taking a different route.
That's exactly it. And I think that comes to the question of walking in an urban space. You know, whether it is, you might be walking in an urban space to simply explore, which is great, or you might be walking in an urban space to get from A to B. Either way, if you've got a map like yours that shows you the off the main streets routes, as you say, you're going to have a much more enjoyable experience. There's even not so much noise of traffic and probably see all these fascinating back streets that often we go past and we don't really realise they're there.
Yeah, and I suppose there are probably at least three main reasons why people choose routes. One is the speed. And we think very often using the back street routes can be just as quick as going down the main roads. The other is pleasure. And I think the more agreeable a mode of transport is, the more likely people are to use it. So if you have a really enjoyable experience that's not full of traffic fumes and has things to look at, you're more likely to walk and do it more often. And I suppose the third is navigability. And obviously one of the advantages of the main roads is they are more navigable, which is why we hope by presenting these routes, people will get to know them and use them. And there, you know, people might use them and go walking for many different purposes, as you said, but we were hoping they'd use it for everyday walking. So instead of taking the tube from work to where they're meeting their friends at a pub or a restaurant or a cinema or whatever, they might think, well, it's only 20 minutes, I'll walk it.
And I think that is such a lovely and important idea to put in people's minds. Because actually, for example, if you finish work and you're in town and it's 6 o'clock and you take the normal route, which is just to hop on the tube, that can actually be quite a busy, stressful situation because that's when everyone is on the tube. So I think it's a gorgeous idea to think, I don't need to go on the tube. I can just walk. Here is this lovely route that's been set out. I can follow it on my phone the first couple of times and get used to it. I've got my little button showing me, you know, where I am. I'm not going to get lost. And I'm going to get some exercise. I'm going to de-stress from work. I'm going to arrive at my appointment happy, probably, from having a lovely walk.
Yeah, and if you prefer, we do have paper maps. So that's something that maybe you wouldn't use to navigate by on the street, but you can look at and say, oh, I can go this way. I'd like to look at that. And then maybe you can check it on the phone as you go. But I think people like opening a bit of paper and saying, how might I get that way?
I agree. And I think a paper map is very, very useful. And, you know, whether you're hiking the Pennine Way or walking across London, it's good to get an overview, isn't it? Yeah. Of generally, are you going east, west, north, south? You know, what might be the landscape markers that you're going to pass on the way? Like yesterday, I knew, okay, I'm going to see Harrods at some point. That's a huge marker. I'll know I'm very close when I see Harrods, you know. So I think you're right. A paper map is lovely. I think the combination of a paper map and then having the on the phone accessibility to the geolocation is a perfect mix.
But also the maps, as you say, give you a sense of London from a pedestrian point of view. You know, you can see where the main roads are, but it's the pink walking routes that stand out. Whereas all other maps really make London look like it's a series of big main roads.
You're so right. And I think we've lost the habit of looking at maps, haven't we? Because we've got so much on our phone now. Google Maps is really, really useful. But it's actually not useful for walkers always, because even if you're not in town, you know, I've experienced being out of town in a like a village, for example, and I'll put in how do I walk from here to here, and Google will give me a walking route, and then I get there, I'm like, oh, but this is a B road with no pavement and the traffic's going quite fast. I can't actually walk down here. So they're not actually walking routes. But I think, yeah, we've lost that, what's the word, that habit of looking at a map and getting our sense of place. And I think it's really valuable. I think there's quite a few mapping apps, you know, walking apps. But to have the map as well, I think gives it that another layer of understandability of your geographical context. And as you say, I think your what I found was your, I haven't seen your paper maps, but what I found on the online map is the way you've designed your maps. And again, maybe this is because you're designing it for walkers, but it's very, I found it instantly understandable. Like I could understand, it had almost a 3D quality where I could see, oh, this is a building, this is a park. It seemed very, you know, I could see it in my mind's eye. So there's something about the way you've designed the maps that is very good for walkers, I think.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. I'm in conversation today with David Harrison of Footways, part of the movement to make London a truly walkable city. And if you're visiting London this year, this next section is especially for you.
So we did one for the whole of the Borough of Westminster last year, which Westminster have done a fantastic job in promoting and putting it in all their libraries and other places. So we pick out some just a section of favourite streets of interest, places like Church Street Market, Bathurst Mews, one of my favourites with all the flowers and things, Connaught Street, Jermyn Street, Shepherd Market, Frith Street, and then we put in historic pubs and places to eat, and really quite nice illustrations.
So these are a lovely... These are a lovely resource for Londoners, but also for a tourist, because often when you're a tourist, you want to walk around a city you're visiting, don't you? How do people get hold of them?
Really, they should come to our website and buy them, or they're on sale at Stamford's and a few other places. But Stamford's, I guess, is the main place.
And for anyone who's listening to this and who isn't a Londoner, Stamford's is the... map shop.
Absolutely.
And yes, it's in Covent Garden, so especially if you're a visitor, you'll go to Covent Garden definitely and look out for Stamford's, because it's a very, very special and very historic shop.
Thank you.
And the third song was The Handel, Where'er You Walk. We're very keen on Handel, like that period of opera and choral music. And it had to do with walking. So we had to have some walking in the title of some song. So it combined our interests.
This is There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, on UK Health Radio. And I'm talking with David Harrison, co-founder of Footways. We've been chatting about how to make walking in the city a more obvious and enjoyable choice for residents and visitors alike. And I wanted to ask David, who needs to be around the table if our towns and cities are truly going to become more pedestrian friendly?
With everything that you have talked about, liaising with London Transport and the Mayor of London and councils, it's obvious that, you know, whilst we may think of walking as a very private act, it's actually very political, because in order to walk, we need our leaders, whether they're transport leaders, town planning leaders, to make sure that there are walking routes that are safe, that are accessible. So in terms of the politics of walking, you know, how does it all intersect? How does the culture, the town planning, the transport, the health, you know, how does it all intersect? And who do you think are the key stakeholders that need to be around the table to make walking an absolute first choice?
Well, I think the environment and transport leads in the cabinets of the local authorities, certainly in London, are absolutely vital. They need to have officers who are keen to do that. And in a sense, I think the better and more enthusiastic the councils and the councillors are about doing things, the better the officers are, because obviously if you're working in this area, you probably want to go to a council where they want to do things. And then I think it's also very important that campaigners support what they're doing. So it's not just a matter of going and saying we ought to do that or moaning about things. But when they do things, it's about giving them some encouragement, because, you know, whenever something's proposed, there can be negativity and a black backlash. And we all see how wonderful Strand Aldwych was, which was introduced actually by a Conservative Westminster Council at the time, then followed on, you know, successfully by its Labour successor. But there clearly was a backlash. You know, there were people who said, oh, what's going to happen to all the traffic, etc. And I think it's worked very well. So, but you need to be around to support them and encourage them in what they're doing. And I think, you know, one really would like the medical profession to do more. There are bits of, you know, in the medical profession that are doing things, but they're clearly overworked. But getting them to support what councils are doing could be so helpful. It's difficult for GPs, because some people will drive to the surgery and, you know, the big staffs there. But the more that can be done in hospitals as well. We've been doing some work in Maidstone, at Maidstone General, which is not far from Barming Hospital. But, you know, so many hospitals outside London are just surrounded by giant car parks. So if you do walk or take the bus and walk, it's really not great then struggling through a mass of car park. I mean, obviously, there's got to be parking in these areas outside central London. But it surely could be managed in a way that it could be attractive to, more attractive to walk and to approach the hospital entrance.
And so if people are listening and they'd like to find out more about Footways, what is the easiest way for them to do that?
The easiest way, I think, is just to Google footways.london on the on Google. So we have a website, it's called Footways, and you can find out, you can see all our digital maps there. And you can buy paper maps if you want, and or they can email us at david@footways.london if they want.
Okay, that's amazing. And so this show goes out all over the world, actually. So I will say to anyone who's listening in another country or who's outside of London but is coming to visit London, before you come, have a look at the Footways website, because it's so useful and it will really enhance your visit to London, because you will see so much that you wouldn't have otherwise, and you'll get to enjoy what is actually becoming a superb walking city.
Absolutely, yes. And let's hope other British cities follow.
I hope so too. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Harriet. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
That wraps it up for today's show. Whether you're a Londoner, a visitor to the city, or someone inspired by David to seek out hidden walking routes where you live, I hope you'll take the time to explore the Footways website. Wherever you are, why not map out an interesting walking route in your local area this week? No matter how well you think you know where you live, you'll always notice something new when you walk. Until next week, happy walking!